Gordon Ramsay here. Nothing ruins a cook faster than the wrong pan. That's why I use Hexblad in my kitchens. Their hybrid range gives you the durability of cast iron, the searing power of stainless steel, and the wipe clean ease of non-stick. All in one pan. Shop now at hexblad.co.uk.
Let Abercrombie handle summer with key pieces made for days that don't slow down. Their linen blend Henleys and woven shirts are easy layers that work from daytime plans straight into nights out. And for everything in between, everyday shorts and relaxed denim keep outfits feeling easy but still refined. Shop Abercrombie in the app, online and in stores.
Y'all, it's time to mosey on down to the Adventure Barn for another episode of Blood of the Wild.
Hi, y'all. Hey, y'all. Welcome to the Adventure Barn.
Yes.
We have a hip and good truck of a time.
Wow. A good old truck of a time.
I didn't know that a truck was a unit of measurement. Well, We're here to teach y'all kind of things here.
It is in the South where we are, this fictional Southern town.
I always have a hip-hopping good truck of a time with y'all.
Finally, somebody said it.
I was trying to think, how much of a good time to have with them? And so it's like, you know, it's a whole truck. I have a whole truck of a time.
Mm-hmm. One with a fancy liner in the back of the bed, too. Yeah. It's real nice.
Calvin sticker, the whole thing.
Apologies to people in the South. I feel like this whole exchange has been offensive.
Hey, no. Jared, hey. It's okay.
No, I think
my family.
Yeah. So is my family. And so, I think my family would actually agree that a truck is a unit of measurement.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That look, happiness is measured in truck size.
I have one Southern friend, so it's okay.
Yeah. You know, my Southern friend has said I could say this.
I have many Southern friends, but it's fine.
Uh-huh.
When I was growing up, not in the South, in the suburbs of Philadelphia, the neighbor that we had right next door for a while when I was like a teenager had a pickup truck, which was not that normal around my neighborhood, not a whole lot of pickup trucks. And he had on a few occasions, he's married, had a little kid, and on a few, they were a young couple, and on a few occasions put a liner in the back of that some bitch, filled it with water.
Yeah.
And he'd have people over and they would just hang out in the back of the truck in hot summer day, crushing beers. And I was just young enough to be like, that's weird. I don't know what they're doing. I don't get it. They're weird. And now, like, as I look back on it, I'm like, that was the most fun guy on the block.
Yeah.
Like,
that was the coolest guy ever.
I wish I was hanging out with now, for sure.
Yeah, that's the coolest guy.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to our truck bed full of water. That was Joe O'Brien, you just heard, Skidmar, Paula Deming, Mary Lou. We're sitting here sipping mint juleps in the back Ford F-150.
Hey, y'all.
I got some sun tea that I just made.
Yeah,
and we are outside all day.
And we are playing, of course, Quest for the Frozen Flame from Paizo Publishing, book one by Ron and Stephanie Lundeen.
Mm-hmm.
And should we get right into it?
Let's do it.
I have something I want to say real quick.
Okay, say something else. Say something else. Go ahead. Say something else.
You're open. I just wanted to bring this up because I haven't talked to Skid about this, and I know you guys play some video games, and we haven't. I've never mentioned this to anybody, but McD, our community manager, told me about this older video game. I don't know, 3 or 4 years old. He's like, you got to try this out. And when you started the show, Jared, I was like, whoa! Like you're in my mind right now because I just finished playing SteamWorld Dig. Have you ever played this game or heard about this game?
No, but I've heard of it.
I've heard of it. It's a great little game. It was like $10, and it's like a 10-hour game. You play it for like 10 hours. But but it's super fun, like digging mining game. But the setting, they've made many games out of it, and the setting is amazing. It's like the Old West, but it's all robots. So like everything is like an old broken down android. Yeah.
Okay. Love it.
But it's all like a saloon keeper and the shopkeeper and the and they're like, howdy, blah, blah, blah. But they're all robots and they
and
don't
you're
know.
Built by like a scientist who like sends you out into like the towns and stuff.
Well, there's different Steam World games. The dig game is like you come to this western town and you start opening up this old mine and you find this huge technological city under. But anyway, the whole point is just it's a neat setting idea because it's kind of like no one remembers who made the robots, but they have now gotten themselves into some sort of like western society that's very like old west scene. So when you started it off,
realize.
I was like, oh my God, this is like the game I'm playing right now.
I have played Steam World Nail Salon, where you are in charge of getting pedicures and manicures to robots.
That's great. I didn't realize that you guys were so into steampunk, that you guys are steampunkers.
Well, Mary Lou, I wear this top hat and goggles every time we record.
That's crazy that it just looks
I'm
so
not sure
natural.
Yeah,
on you.
I don't know why you didn't connect it, Mary Lou.
Your brass so goggles natural. Were a dead giveaway.
Right.
Yeah. Maybe if there were more pinstripes, then I might have put two and two together. But
I'm constantly swearing on the virginity of Queen Victoria. So.
Yeah, you're right. I should have seen it, but
all
I didn't.
All the clues were there.
The other lords say weird.
Wow. You should have seen it coming, just like you should have seen this coming. The other lords say our days are numbered. Our following dwindles. Enemies dog our footsteps, and we have failed in our sacred charge. They say we will soon pass away into the endless Arctic night. They are mistaken. We are strong. Broken, but strong. Our hearts beat, and it is like the sound of a herd of mammoths stampeding across the tundra. And in each heart flows the blood of the wild.
Of the wild.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Mark and Jamal's romantic weekend will depart in 4 minutes from Platform 6. Your ride comes with a rolling countryside sunset view and a table seat ideal for playing footsie beneath. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Summer. The kids are home, and after a long hot day, you just want to relax with the show that everyone's talking about. So flex your EE TV to include Netflix. Cool down with chilling thrillers like I Will Find You, or laugh along with brand new comedies including The Hawk. Because when you flex your EE TV to include Netflix, you can watch your way and catch all the summer hits. It's TV with the ultimate flex.
EE TV requires EE broadband. 24-month contracts. Content may vary. Terms apply.
And so we return to the realm of the Mammoth Lords, and we return to Red Cat Cave. Our scouts, the tip of the spear, yes, have been leading the Broken Tusk following across the plains of the realm of the Mammoth Lords here to Red Cat Cave, where they hope to find out the location of the primordial flame and get their hands on it before the burning mammoths who have been chasing them across the tundra. Our scouts entered the cave. They dealt with some traps. They met some Blindheims, which are amphibian-type creatures with luminescent eyes, and they finally found their way into a cavern where a very large and aggressive Blindheim attacked them. And before they could come to blows with that creature, another creature emerged, a huge, squatting, greasy toad with three long whip-like tongues emerging from its maw, and that toad-like thing has hopped forward to AWOL and it is now going to attack. It has two actions left. No. We're jumping right in, baby.
Jumping right in like here. A fat toad leaps from lily pad to lily pad. Having a good old truck of a time.
Here we goddamn go with a good old truck of a time, and we... That is a 17 versus your AC, AWOL.
That's going to be a miss, Jared.
Oh. I'm on a mission to replace John for this for the Naish with truck. It starts now.
Mission starts now.
This old truck.
Having missed,
sorry, combat.
Having missed, the creature then hops away.
And it became distorted.
Actually,
strange.
I got to point out, too, the art, it looks like it's having a really good time. Like a truck of a good time.
It really does.
He's smiling.
Sorry, I accidentally, I did something I didn't even know you could do. I accidentally stretched the icon into a funhouse mirror of this toad creature.
Yeah. I needed to make a sanity check.
I was like, is this suddenly a Cthulian monster?
What if I was like, it grows to 40 times its original size? No.
It is the great old one, three tongue.
In a wily strategic way for an animal, it hops away.
Wow.
Very far away from you.
Wow.
More like that. Okay. It is now kind of behind cover and has hopped away from you. You hear it's ribbiting from behind one of the stone pillars in this room. Oh, just to remind our listeners, there are three large kind of, limestone columns in this room, which is sort of a larger chamber. The walls in here are all red stone with lines of purple and green coming from dripping moisture here in the cave. And that is its turn, the creature's turn, and now we come to Raga.
Are you sure it's not Olog?
No, I went already.
Went already?
Olog did his thing already.
Oh, yeah. Dang. Okay. Well, I'm blinded. So
that's true. You can still do things, but if you attack, it is a flat check 11 to try to even attack, successfully attack.
Eek. Right.
Did
okay.
Baba roll?
Yeah, he did, and he succeeded.
Oh, great.
So he's dazzled. He just needs to make a DC dazzled. 5 check. Yeah.
Apologies, Jared. I don't remember a time being attached to that.
A time?
A
yes,
length
I roll.
Of the dazzled. Is it one round?
The dazzled is, let me make sure. I know that the blindness is one round,
mm-hmm.
and dazzled for one round.
Okay. Great.
So until after everybody takes another turn. Okay, what's happening, Raga?
Well, first thing Raga is going to command Baba to bite in the butt, as is his specialty. So he's gonna run past our team to get behind this blind time leader guy. And flank him with Olog.
Nice.
He is going to. Yeah. I'll just have him attack right now. He's gonna bite.
He's gonna bite.
That is a 21 to hit.
Ooh.
But please nice. Make your DC 5 check because
Mama
was dazzled.
Whatever. Okay. Ooh, that was a 6.
Nice.
Ooh,
Baba.
Woo!
He's still seeing stars, Baba, but he does manage to bite this thing. Please do your damage.
Let's do it. Ooh, max damage. That's D8 plus 3.
Baby.
That's 11, maybe.
Nice.
11
beautiful,
damage
Baba.
To the Blindheim leader.
We bought this alligator in the butt now. You hear?
A deep bellow issues from its throat as it thrashes madly, and its eyeball headlights are kind of flashing all around the cave. And it's like whenever there's like a big spotlight over like an arena, but it's like all over the cave walls and all over the ceiling of the cave. Raga, that was one action to command Baba. What else would you like to do?
I don't really have anything that, just is an emanation, unfortunately. So,
Make that DC 11 flat check.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. All right, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to try and cast Scatter Scree, which is one of my cantrips.
Ooh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, yeah. He'll have to make a basic reflex save. But I got to make my DC 11 first. Oh, that's a 19.
Yeah. All right. You did it.
It needs to make
Sorry. I don't think that's going to work. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Talk to me.
You did not have an attack roll for that, correct?
No.
Correct.
So you don't have line of sight to the creature if you're blind. Like you would have to have line of sight in order to cast a spell on a creature.
Well, it's actually just two contiguous 5-foot cubes. So can I like pick those cubes even if
I think you could it was an attack roll. Because then it would also require a flat check. But I think for any spell that requires a save like that you don't have an attack roll to, uh-huh. It requires line of sight. And by definition, you would not have
I don't have the sight.
Thanks, okay. Joe. I was just about to say all of that.
Okay, for sure.
I'm glad that was clarified, because it's going to change wrong with what I do on my turn. To us than the other way around.
So I'm going to... So I can pretty much only cast a spell then that has a spell attack. Yeah?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then you would roll a DC 11 flat check, because you saw the creature before you went blind. You kind of know where it is. You could take a shot at it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think. Okay. I'm just... Jared, it's your call, but I'm just saying.
I think that it sort of stayed in the position it was right before she became blinded, right? Yeah. So it kind of walked up, opened its eyes, and blinded you guys. So, yeah, she would have an idea of where it's at.
Okay, well, I passed my check.
Oh, we're going to use that one? Okay, keep going.
Can we? Why not?
No, I'll allow it. I'll allow it.
I already rolled one.
I think it makes sense.
I'll allow it, but watch
Thank
yourself,
you.
McCoy. Okay, so.
I will.
What spell are you using, though? You have not even declared that since Scatter Spray was eliminated.
Then I'm going to cast Ray of Frost and just, just blast out an icy ray. And I know that Yelka and Olag are in between me and this blind time. So does he gain cover or...
Yes, he has plus one to his AC.
Okay.
Because he has minor cover from the people in front of him.
All right. Well, I still think this is my best option, y'all. So I'm going to do it. Ooh, that was a 22 to hit.
A 22 is a hit.
Woohoo! Nice. So that is a 5 cold damage.
And I just want to make sure Ray of Frost doesn't like make a line or a cone. It just goes directly at the enemy. Is that right?
I blast an icy ray.
Yeah, no, it's just a targeted creature. And are you? Yeah. Did you roll the flat check? You already passed.
Yeah,
that?
We're gonna go with the flat check that we used for Scatter Scree because I am a benevolent deity. Okay.
Thank you.
So looking it up by the book, the target must be within the spell's range, and you must be able to see it, or otherwise perceive it with a precise sense. Wait, slow down.
So what is the DC 11 flat check for?
No. I'm sorry. This is
for the previous
This spell. Is for if you're casting a spell that it doesn't have a targeted casting. Because you could target anything into a square. You could just target it into a square with a flat check. This is a spell that would kind of require a save. But it does say at the GM's discretion, you can attempt to target a creature you can't see. And then you go into the seek rules. You like use an action to seek with your ears or something, and the GM could say, okay, you could target it with a flat check or something.
Right. It goes from undetected to hidden. It goes from undetected to hidden.
Exactly.
Or hidden to
concealed.
And that's
the rules that it points you to is the undetected.
But again, Joe O'Brien has gone back to talk about Scatter Scree. We are now talking about Ray of Frost, and you have hit with it. So how much damage have you done?
5 cold damage.
5 cold damage. Thank you. Okay. And that's all of your actions, I believe,
that
right?
That is 100% of my actions, correct.
So a cold, icy wind suddenly blasts between Yelka and Olag. Maybe it even singes or frosts your shoulders as it blasts through and smashes against the Blindheim leader, making it reel back and bellow again. That is Raga's turn. It is now Yelka, who is blinded.
Blinded.
And down 11 points of health, right?
Yeah, this is bad. So I will, blinded, unable to see, but knowing this thing is right in front of me, I can hear it, I can kind of feel it in front of me, and I can smell it. I will use my first action to pull my bone dagger out of my belt, which I don't need to see. I can do that in the dark. It's so rote. What a rote action to pull a dagger out. Pulls that out and just is going to try and stab forward with it into the exposed belly of the beast.
I believe Yelka has just lately been going in for some close combat.
She really has. Yeah.
Here's the thing. He's right up against me, and I was gonna do some spells, but I started to worry because I have only so many spell slots, and I don't know how long we're gonna be in this cave for, and I don't know when we're gonna rest, and I don't know what we're gonna need with Sire Stick, and I got nervous. So I was like, maybe I should save some of my
and you know
precious,
what you
precious
do know?
Slots.
I
think
that's you do really know smart. You won't be blind one round from now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So...
So
yeah, I feel like you stab
strategy,
and then you can run.
So I need to make the flat check to see if I can do this, right?
That's right.
And that's a DC 5?
11.
11, thank you.
You are blinded, yep.
Oh, I also got a 19. So,
very well done.
Wow, I wish that was my attack roll, though. Okay.
Yeah.
The thing is bellowing right next to you. You can... feel the cold, clammy dampness coming off of its skin as you lash forward with your bone knife. How much damage do you do?
Well, that was just my flat check, right? So I need to do a...
Oh, now make your attack, please.
So that's... It's only 15.
That is not enough. Your knife swings.
So I knew it was...
misses.
God, moves out of the way and I'm...
You have an action left.
Oh my gosh, do I run away?
No!
I feel
what
like,
what I
want
to do... Oh, this might be so dumb. I'm doing it. I don't care. I don't care. Yell at me for bad strats. I don't know. With having seen it... No, that's dumb. Sorry. Oh my gosh, y'all. Why am I like this?
Make
I
was a thinking, choice, Yelka!
Should I try and recall knowledge as my action to let everyone else know? Like, can I figure out, like... what its weaknesses might be, but we've already sort of fought these things, so maybe that's dumb. Maybe I wouldn't learn anything new, so maybe I should just run away.
Stop metagaming. Stop metagaming and choose.
You can recall knowledge against that little tongue guy.
I don't think I've seen him.
Oh.
Because he showed up after we were blinded.
You are in the heat of combat, or in this case, the dampness of combat. You must choose instead of consulting all of your fellow players. Tell me what you do.
Oh, no.
I will say... if you run away, you if you stay, AWOL has a flanking partner.
Ooh.
If you run away, that's like a plus two to its AC,
I think,
basically.
Word. What my instinct was telling me to do, and this is what I'm going to stick with, Yelka's like, I can't run away. I have to protect Olag. So she's going to see, can she figure out anything about this thing that could help them in this moment? So I'm going to recall knowledge
using
on
what
this
skill?
Creature. Nature.
I'm gonna roll
it's
it.
An
Give
animal.
Me.
Okay.
I'm gonna roll it. What is your bonus to nature?
My bonus to nature is plus six.
You're trying to figure out if they have a weakness. Is
yeah.
that correct?
Can I tell being up close to it, and being like, oh yeah, this thing. Can I tell if there's a weakness?
All right. So these things are animals. I can tell you that they are animals, and they're very good at swimming and climbing. But you can think of no weakness that they suffer.
They're only strengths.
Yeah.
How can I cut the power, man? They're animals.
They are apex predators. Also, I love that I was like, Yelka, make a choice, and you guys were like, ignore him. You know what we should do is there is a flanking partner we could...
What I wanted to do was stay and do this recall knowledge, so that helped me feel like I wasn't being a total dum-dum by doing it. So I'll just, in this moment, yell out to everyone, they're really good at moving. Be careful. Watch your backs.
I thought you were going to say, they have no weaknesses. We're all going to die.
They're the perfect organism.
We'll never defeat it.
All right, Yelka, great turn.
Was it?
I mean, you used all three of your actions. I call that a great turn.
Thank you.
I call that a great turn.
That's our new bar.
You
used all three actions.
You know, having played some Pathfinder 2E myself, it's sometimes hard to figure out all three of those actions. Now let's go to AWOL.
Yeah, as a spellcaster, you have it a little easier because a lot of our things are two actions. But
all right, seeing Yelka now brandishing a dagger and looking like such a threat, taking this creature's attention, he's going to slip around to the back of the creature and flank with Yelka. He is going to hunt prey, finding its weak spot. And then I'll find one. He will twin take down. First stab is a tweener, man. That is a 17 against flat footed.
17 against its flat footed AC is a miss.
Yeah.
Do you need to do anything for being dazzled?
Second
or did that
attack.
Get?
What about your flat check?
Yep. Give me that flat check.
It doesn't really matter because I missed them both.
Okay.
Thank you, Skid, for following the rules.
My second attack was a natural 5.
A natural 5 will not hit.
Thank you, Skid.
Okay, well done. That is two actions. Oh no,
that
you
was
moved
all three.
As well.
Moved, hunted prey, and then twin takedown.
AWOL has no success. And now we come back
right now
to the Blindheim commander. And it will. What shall it do?
Captain Gumbo himself.
I think that it will slash at AWOL. AWOL has come around behind it, and
thank you.
AWOL's dodging.
Yeah.
Just don't touch Yelka. She'll
AWOL
yell
tried
at me.
To slash it, and now the creature will attack AWOL.
Oh boy!
Here we go. Tries to snap down on you with its jaws. It rolls a 20 versus your AC.
That is a hit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That draws human blood.
Yes. And it does. Oh, you lucky bastard. It does 6 damage.
All right.
That's as lucky.
Jaws. What's everybody so afraid of? This thing's going to be easy.
All those nasty teeth bite down on your arm for a second, and then they come loose as you move, you know, you wrench away. The thing bellows again, and it's just lashing out at everything around it. It attacks with its multiple attack penalty against Yelka.
Oh, no.
No!
Miss.
And it rolls a 10 altogether. That is a miss.
Yes!
Having done that, it will then extricate itself from this flanking situation that it's in.
Oh, will it?
Oh, I forgot.
No escape, baby.
That is
no
the
escape.
Greatest reaction in the
Olog's
world.
Olog's No Escape follows the Blindheim leader to the eastern side of the cavern. And that is
no
the creature's turn.
No one hurts my sister and gets away with it.
And it is actually Olog's turn now.
Oh, yes. Man. What do you yell at it as it runs by you?
So Olog, he bellows, and at first you think it's just like noise, but it sounds like a language, like some words in a language that you don't recognize.
Oh. What?
His first language is beginning to emerge.
He's going to slash down at it with his mighty axe. Okay, that is that's a 20.
A 20 versus its AC. It is no longer flanked, and still, that is a hit.
No,
oh,
thank
yes.
God.
Good. I was really worried for a minute.
I was as well. Oh, yes. 20 points of damage.
Olog, you were dazzled, right?
No, I critically
Oh, yeah, you critically succeeded. 20 points of damage, you say?
Yeah.
Kill it.
It is not dead, but the force of your axe smashes it against the cave wall. It reels back from the cave wall, kind of barely able to keep itself up as it dizzily sort of spins in front of you. Blood. An ichor of some sort issues from its torso. Yeah. Olog, you have actions left.
I do. I will. I'm going to try to intimidate it. I should have done this first. And so this language again, like this person says, Hotonya Sagoth! This is right in his face. That is a 23 against his will DC. Yes.
His will DC, and his will DC, it ain't no 23. You succeed. He is frightened one.
He must be so scared.
All right, and then with my final action, I will take my second attack, and that's a miss. That is a 16 to hit.
Very good. The thing is terrified of Olog. It is now barely able to keep its feet. It is cowering from Olog. And then we come to this strange toad-like creature, which slides back down and tries to swing at AWOL again.
Oh, boy. Something scares me about this tongue. I don't like this tongue.
It's trying to clamp its jaws down on you. And this time This time it rolls. This time it does a lot better. It rolls a 27 versus your AC.
Ooh.
Okay, that's a hit.
Okay. Well, now you notice, my friend AWOL, that it has teeth, even though it is a toad-like thing. Because the teeth bite into your shoulder, and it does. Oh, that's nice. It does 6 piercing damage.
Ouch.
And its weird grease gets all over your body.
Oh, no. I don't like that.
Gross.
And that is its second action because it moved, it attacked, and then it does its thing again where it moves away from you.
Oh.
This thing is so nasty and I don't like it.
Yeah, it's gnarly and no good.
Into a corner of the cavern away from you. That is the toad creature's turn. It is now Raga's turn.
Oi, yoi, yoi. Did not love that at all. Okay.
Well, you're not blinded anymore, right? Because it was just one.
No, I'm not blinded anymore. I am now dazzled, which is terrific. Oh. Right? Blinded goes into dazzled.
I don't think that it necessarily does. No, you are just fully able to see again.
Yes,
I made that up for fun.
The whiteout in front of your eyes starts to clear. Things start to come into relief again. You can detect shadows and lines, and you are able to act as normal.
Beautiful. Then I am going to Ray of Frost this bitch.
That being the Blindheim leader?
That being the Blindheim leader.
Okay.
13. Which 13. I know doesn't hit.
It is not a hit.
So with my last action, I'm going to command Baba to go bite. And he's gonna go do that. Because it's what he loves to do.
Yeah. Baba so growls ominously, lumbers up to the Blindheim. And what happened?
And he bites. Baba bites. I wish he could flank, but he can't. Oh, baby, that is a natural 20 for a total of 27.
Yeah, Baba.
Critical.
Mm-hmm, that's a crit, Baba. Baby.
That is a crit.
I wish it was something that wasn't dying, but oh well.
Well, who knows? He could get some sort of bonus. Who knows? Let's see. Yeah. Let's see what we get from Derek in Portland, Maine. Derek in Portland, Maine. This one's called Got His Bell Rung. You strike your target's head with such force and accuracy that its mental capacity is temporarily diminished. Double damage. Oh, and the target is slowed for 1d4 rounds.
Nice.
Wow.
Well,
something tells me
it
won't survive the double damage. But.
I think he's going to be slowed to the point of death.
the slowest is just my B.
That's my. That, and that his mental capacity will be diminished because he's dead.
Because he has no brain function.
Yeah, that's my hypothesis, but let's find out. So the damage is 1d8 plus 3, and that is 8 piercing damage.
Doubled.
And you're gonna double that.
Doubled. So 16. Woof.
16. Yeah. The creature
in the head.
Baba actually gets its head in Baba's jaws and then just jerks his head back and forth really quickly, and you kind of hear a loud crack.
Oh. Yeah.
And the creature goes limp. It is dead.
Yes, Baba.
Nice.
Nicely
Baba
done.
Baba comes trotting back to Raga like, did I do a good job?
Another another great murder for Baba. Baba comes in to finish them off quite often, I've noticed.
Yeah, yeah. He loves to murder. It's kind of like what he was literally born for. So, yeah.
Born
Raga's
to kill.
Giving him some good pets. Talk All about right. apex predators.
Oh, yeah.
Nicely done, Baba. And now we come to... Oh, wait, that's all of your actions, right, Raga? It
Correct.
Is.
Correct.
Yelka, it's your turn.
So as Yelka's vision starts to clear, the first thing she sees is Baba crunching down on the skull of this Blindheim who is in front of her. She's filled with relief. She looks around and she sees AWOL covered in grease. And a weird, gross, three-tongued toad creature back off in the corner. So she's going to stride. Or, right? That's the walking one. She's going to walk. She's going to move her movement.
Yep.
5, 10, 15.
You stride, girl.
20, 25.
Nobody's going to break you a stride.
No. Gotta keep on moving.
Yeah.
Gotta keep on moving. I move through these columns, and I see this gross toad thing with three tongues, and I shoot an electric arc out at it from my hands.
Yes.
And it needs to make a basic reflex saving throw.
I wonder if leaping toads are good at reflex saves.
It's probably very good, but look, this is what I got. It's a cantrip.
This
it's not going to take a spell
got.
Slot. Okay? Okay?
It rolled a 26.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, okay.
Cool. Yelka shoots that out. The toad just literally with no effort just jumps right over it. And she's like,
I think it's hopping back and forth, dancing around your lightning.
This one also has no weaknesses. And then that's my whole turn.
Good turn, Yelka.
Yeah, real good. I'm really contributing.
He's looking down at this goop. He lifts up his arms. He's holding the two blades, and it's just like falling, clinging from his torso to his forearm. Like, what is this? So far, it doesn't have any effect on me, right?
So far, no effect.
Mechanical. Then in that case, he is going to rush toward the creature, close the distance, hunt prey on the toad, and he will twin takedown again. Mm. Come on, AWOL. Swinging with the obsidian short sword, that's going to do it with a 27 to hit.
There you go.
That is a hit.
Then he comes back across its belly with the...
That is a, wait, a 27, you say?
20. Yeah. 7, yes.
That's a critical hit.
Yes!
Amazing,
AWOL! All right, so he crits with that, and, well, yeah, let's look at the... Well, no, it's not a look-up crit. All right, and then I'll swing with the bone dagger as well. That one is... Well, it's not going to hit. That is going to be a 14, so that will miss.
Not a hit.
And so it is a crit, though, and he does 10 points of damage with the slice of these shorts.
All together? That's doubled and everything?
That is doubled, yeah.
Okay, the thing...
What are you trying to say? I don't like your tone.
Sounds like she's higher.
I just thought that sounded like a really pathetic amount of damage.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right, the thing, for a second, is pinned against the stone wall by your blade, and then it kind of, like, its oozy skin lets it slide out, but not without making a big rent in its wet skin. That is AWOL's turn. We return to the rage of Olog Crowborn.
Okay. And Olog, and he's still like shouting in this language, like, oh, Kun Chi Hamach. And he just runs up, dum, 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 through this cave and swings with his axe on this toad.
Come on.
Yes, that is a 27. That is a 27 hit.
Another crit, baby.
It is a crit.
Okay.
Do 60 points of damage right now.
AWOL's like, oh dear.
44 points of damage.
Now that's a crit. No, that's a crit amount of damage.
That is a critical. AWOL's like, I softened him up.
The dripping smear that is left contains some innard particles that you can almost recognize as belonging to a dead animal. But otherwise, it might as well be a pile of defecation and sludge.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, no.
Gross.
Yes, I'm so hungry now.
And I have I have news for everybody.
Well?
At the end of this combat, at the end of the last encounter, you had 998 XP.
What?
Oh, come on.
998.
At the end of the last encounter, but the end of this encounter, you have taken on, I believe this is a moderate encounter, so you gain 80 more XP.
Heck yeah.
And you have 78 XP over into level 3. You
level 3. So if we go 78 fight. Over in one shot, does that mean we get an extra feat or something?
Yeah.
No, it does not. But it does, no. It does mean I will carry it over into your new ongoing total to get to level 4.
All right, level 3, baby.
Level 3, here we
are
at level 3.
Our limbs all start to tingle as soon as this creature dies. Mm-hmm. Our biceps grow slightly, almost imperceptibly larger, and we go, I think I can do some new things now.
I think Olog's biceps grew perceptibly larger.
Yeah.
You see these bulging, bulking muscles.
Yeah. Yeah. Hell yeah.
I imagine a level up, like suddenly like there's like a bright light and then there's like a wind from nowhere and all of you guys like look really sexy with your hair like blowing behind.
It's like a stop. You've made references to anime before with the Picano. Right. It's like it's just one of those scenes where the camera slowly moves across all of us and we're all posed and looking at each other and the wind is blowing anime style. I love it.
Hell yeah.
Here in the cavern, let's talk about our level up. I will also just mention to my players, just remind them that although time is of the essence in our story, there is the possibility that at some point you leave the cavern and come back. I don't think that that's insane if you were to decide to do that. And I'm not saying that to you in order to warn you about anything. I'm just letting you know that that's an option you have generally
that
inside
is.
Of a...
Yeah.
Okay.
Should we need to rest and recover spells or something like that?
This episode is brought to you by Rakuten. The big secret all savvy shoppers know? Rakuten makes your money go further. It's easy. Shop as normal and stack cash back on top of sales and savings. Discover fashion, tech, beauty, and more at hundreds of your favorite shops like Argos, Lego, and Just Eat. Join for free at rakuten.co.uk or download the Rakuten app. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, rakuten.co.uk.
Hey, what's going on, guys? It's your good buddy, Joe O'Brien, and I want to thank you for listening to the Glass Cannon Network. Because you are here, because you're listening, you know that we're committed to making high-quality entertainment. We want you to feel like you're here at the table laughing with us, crying with us, celebrating with us, because you are. Becoming an official member of the Niche by joining our subscription service is by far the best way that you can support all of the creators here at the GCN. And not only that, you'll also unlock hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of exclusive podcasts, videos, campaigns, side quests, and behind-the-scenes hijinks that you just can't get on the public feed. And it's all ad-free. If you're ready for even more laughs, for more danger, and more GCN, head to jointhenaish.com and subscribe. That's jointhenaish.com.
Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure and No Rolls Barred. Search realms of peril and glory to find out more.
Now, when you level up, generally you would kind of rest at least for a little while, I think. At least in my world, or the way I'm going to run it. I don't think it needs to be 8 hours. Let's kind of leave it vague as to how long it takes you to kind of regroup here. Mm-hmm. What I'd really like to hear about are the rules, the rules discussion of what you're going to level up with. You were about to say something, Joe O'Brien.
I was just going to say, I feel like we could take at least a couple hours in this back cave right here, because I'm pretty dinged up. I could use some treat wounds. Mm-hmm. I can lay on hands, but I need time to recover that focus point each time. So I do think that it would be a couple hours in this back cave.
That makes Yelka's sense.
Hurting.
Okay, so with the sound of lapping water coming from the chamber below you, you sit in this cave with three columns in this chamber, and you patch up your wounds. How many hours are we talking about here? Are we taking a full 8-hour rest, like camping out, or are we just kind of taking an hour or two to treat wounds and use lay on hands and then move on?
I am fine with an hour or two to treat some wounds and then move on, personally.
Yep, likewise.
It depends on how everyone else is.
Yeah, same here.
If we supplement with lay on hands, I think we'll be easily 2 hours, we'd be done.
Why don't we use our healing first, and then we will talk about our level up.
And I was thinking what I can do is whoever's doing a healing check, I can hand off my crying angel pendant to them, so that they can't critically fail and injure someone on a bad roll.
Love that.
So that just seems to make sense to me.
Yes, it does.
Also, I suggest we level up and then go, because my healing increases at third level.
Let's go.
Oh yeah, Jared. Do we heal
Fun
before
fact.
Our powers get stronger, or do we get stronger and then we heal?
Your powers got stronger the second that Olog's axe ended the brain activity of the toad.
Amazing.
The moment that its life was snuffed out, that's when you leveled up.
We basically a little bit of its essence, and that's what gave us more strength.
So very well. Let us talk about our level up first, then, if that's okay. So
yeah,
can we start with AWOL?
Sure, yeah. I'd venture to say that this is the most insane part of AWOL's level up, is his gift, this blessed one gift of lay on hands that he was given. I don't think, I'm guessing now, but I don't think you could possibly see a bigger mechanical jump than going from second level to third level at this point, because his lay on hands goes from 6 points to 12 points.
Whoa, hell yeah.
One level.
Amazing.
Now it's going to stay 12 all the way until fifth level. But like for right now to go from 6 to 12 at our level, it feels like I could heal almost half my health in one touch.
That's amazing.
That's huge.
So yeah, that's a big level up, because that's the same thing for you guys, for your casters. All your cantrips just leveled up.
Yeah, because they're all heightened now.
Yeah, so that's
I'm
the big thing
excited.
About their level. So we get a skill increase and a feat. Right. So I just
General
took
feat.
My skill increase to survival, because I felt like this was the first time AWOL has finally been set out on his own. He was with friends, but without a master, a hunt master, and had to do his own hunting all along this hex map that we've been crawling, this hex crawl. And so I've made him an expert in survival. I think he needs to hunt better. He's had plenty of failures, and that has resulted in him having to lean on rations, and he's now out of rations. So I felt like that was a good reason to make survival an expert. We also get a bonus skill rank from our...
automatic bonus progression system.
Our automatic bonus progression system. And so I took that and put it in crafting for my artwork.
Yes.
Oh,
because
I was
sense.
Like, I need the practice. Yeah. I need to get better at this. So I put it in that. So yeah, that was right. That. And then, and we get a general feat. And I took a general feat that is pretty standard, but I think really important to me, because I have felt the pain of my movement as I try to get into position for my twin takedown. Yeah. So I just took fleet, which adds 5 feet of speed to his movement.
Good one.
Nice.
Yeah. So I can get 30 feet of movement and just get into position faster and better. So, yeah, that's AWOL.
Great. That's excellent. All right, let's move on to Raga Bear Daughter.
Great. Okay, so I get 2 level 2 spells, and I was looking at them, and
Remember, Raga, you can choose from your entire... You can choose from the entire spell list.
You just get 2 level 2 slots. You can prepare anything in there.
Every day. Yeah, you can put anything you want in there.
I know. I just wanted to think about which ones I wanted to take, like, and honestly,
to prepare for right now
top.
When we walk out of the cave.
Exactly, yeah. Because we're gonna walk into a new cavern and I want to be able to have spells. So I took animal form just because it felt like easy. Absolutely.
Yes.
Cool.
And then this other one looked bad. So,
sorry, hold on a second. I mean, that means you could become one of these things.
Correct. Well, No, I could become not one of these things. I can turn into an ape, bear, bull, canine, cat, deer, frog, shark, or snake. Oh. So if maybe frog, if the GM lets me, I could turn into a weird tonguey toad man.
Dress it up a little bit.
I will allow it.
Begrudgingly.
And each one of those forms has a different skill, has a different special ability that I can take.
Very cool.
That one just felt right. And then I took Ash Cloud, just for the record.
You prepared them, rather, are you?
Yes.
Yes.
Those are the ones that I am preparing for just for right now, for like our... in case we walk into the next room and it tries to kill us. I gain alertness, which is very cool. I'm increasingly aware of threats around me. So my proficiency level is expert
in perception. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
Oh.
And I'm now also an expert in fortitude saves. I am incredibly hardy. Sweet.
Oh,
so, I was looking
at
that.
I didn't check that out for myself. I got to look at what I...
Yeah,
I'm an expert in will saves and fortitude saves now. Nice. So the skill that I chose for the automatic bonus progression, I wanted to choose stealth just because I feel like we use it a lot and mine wasn't that high. So chose stealth for that. And for the skill increase, I chose... or what to become an expert in, I chose nature. I feel like I use that all the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so important in this adventure path. And I think to Raga specifically, I think it makes a lot of sense that she would just be an expert in nature. So I am now a plus 10 in nature.
That's amazing. Nice.
So then the only thing left that I needed to take was a general feat. And this is what I was going to kind of ask you guys about, because the last... feat I took was survey wildlife, and while I think that is very cool and great, it makes a lot of sense for Raga, we haven't used it a ton, and so I wanted to go for something that was like less about flavor and character and more that like I would use all the time. So I was actually thinking about fleet, because that feels so useful. Mm-hmm. I would use that literally every single encounter, probably. But also, I'm really into... oh, gosh, where is it? Now I don't know the name of it. Oh, toughness, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I know it's cliche. I know everybody takes toughness, but, like, it's really good.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just going to...
Is that the one where you... don't die until you're level 5 dying, or is that a different...
That's Die Hard, really cool.
Yeah.
Toughness is you just increase your maximum hit points by your level.
That's right. That's
and I was
right.
going to ask, is does that like... so this is a one-time thing, so I would gain 3 hit points, or when I go to level 4, is that going to add up to level 4?
Yeah, you get an extra point every level, and then basically...
So the earlier
and then
it you
also
take it.
Is the and the and then your recovery checks are also 9 plus.
Yeah, I think it's 9
instead of 10 plus, which is a fun one. I mean, I really like that for you. Fleet is always valuable for everybody because that movement is so important. However,
I'm a spellcaster, and
you're
I
a
do have,
exactly. You have more ranged capabilities, and I feel like toughness, unless you're considering anything else, to me, Raga is tough. Like, would have to be tough
to survive
what she has survived and come as far as she's come.
Yeah, to live among bears. Yeah.
So I feel like it is a really good feat just role-playing-wise, too, not only mechanically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, done. Toughness. So I now have 41 HP.
Nice.
Awesome.
Very good. Excellent. That is Raga Bear Daughter. Let's talk to Olog Crowborn.
So, Olog, at third level, I really focused a lot. This is kind of what I was playing. I really focused a lot on my intimidation. So, with my automatic bonus progression, my skill bonus, I put that into an intimidation. My skill increase, I increased my intimidation to expert. from trains.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And then for my general feat, I took intimidating prowess.
Ooh.
So in any circumstance where I'm in a position to physically menace someone, I get an additional plus one. So in normal awesome. Circumstances, I'll get a plus 10.
Now, that's amazing.
Yeah, which is great. Considering it was plus 5 before and my charisma is a 12. You know, it's pretty good. So yeah, I got that. And then
sorry, just real quick. And what's so cool about that is if you get in the habit of using that to start your turn, to start mm-hmm. your round, it's almost like you are making people flat-footed without needing any help. Like,
right.
you scream at them and it makes them frightened, lowers their AC, and then smash. It's such a great synergy of the kind of a role-playing ability, but also your combat ability, you know?
Yeah.
And it also fits the role-playing because Olog has been scary lately, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I've been thinking of. And that is something I have to keep reminding of myself. Because you think of it as a third action, so you think of it doing it as last, but it really, I should be doing it first. Before
it's
I
your
do
first action,
rolls.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's most of what I did. And then also at third level, barbarians get deny advantage. So if I am up against a creature of the same level as I am, it cannot flank me. I'm not flat-footed to its attacks if I'm being flanked or if it's unnoticed to me or hidden or whatever. I can't be flanked. It can help a higher level opponent flank against me, but I can't be flanked by it.
Interesting.
So yeah. So that's it.
Amazing. I love the way these characters are coming together. And now let's talk to Yelka,
the Oracle.
Oh, hi. Okay, so I'll start with the easier stuff. So for my skill increase, I decided that we should have something that we as a party have lamented not having, and that is society. So rather than becoming an expert in anything,
so smart.
Yelka has all of this experience, this interaction now with people. Before, she hadn't really interacted with people outside of the Broken Tusk, but now they've interacted with the Burning Mammoth, with Shaggy Shimfin, with
Harbina
Farwander, with
that crazy hunting lady,
with the hunting lady. She's starting to like be exposed
to
other
people. Get a taste of the wider world, yeah.
People. And I think that is making her much more aware of society and paying attention to other people and cultures. So I am now trained in society, which is great.
Yes.
That means we went from as a party having a plus 0 to society checks to having a plus 5 if I do them. So it's something.
That's great.
I also, for my just like skill bonus from our automatic bonus progression system, I added that to nature because that's how I do all my healing. And so that's just a small thing, but from a plus 7 to a plus 8 in my nature. And for my feet, kind of in the same vein of wanting to be aware and a little bit like quick thinking and able to try anything, I've chosen untrained improvisation, which basically means I've learned how to handle situations when I'm out of my depth. My proficiency bonus to untrained skill checks is equal to half of my level instead of plus 0.
Is that rounded up or down?
It's usually rounded down.
Rounded down, I think.
It doesn't specify, but I believe it's rounded down. So basically, it's rounded down because now the things I was plus 0 at, when I put this into my form, they're now plus 1.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It does not allow me to use that skill's trained actions, because I'm not trained. But I do have a little bit of ability in everything now.
That's great.
I thought that might be useful.
Yeah, it is. It's certainly useful because I don't think recalling knowledge is trained, for example. I don't think. So I think you can roll that, you know, for like occultism or arcana now. At least you could get a little boost to trying that here and there.
And it'll get bigger and bigger as you go.
As we go.
Mm-hmm. I think.
Do you get your ability bonus too when you roll that, or is it just the untrained bonus?
I believe you get the ability bonus as well.
Yeah, I think so.
Great. So like before thievery, I've untrained, but I had a plus 2 because of
your dexterity.
I imagine my dex, and now it's a plus 3.
Oh, great. So, awesome. Yeah.
Then the last thing that happens that is worth maybe a little more conversation is just I also get level 2 spells. So I get 2 level 2 spell slots. And I also get signature spells, which I'm very excited about because this means I get one spell at each level. That's my signature spell, which means I get the heightened versions of that spell for free. I don't have to learn them because otherwise a heightened version of a spell takes that spell slot. So for level 1, I chose heal to be my signature spell. So I can always do the heightened version of heal without it having to take my second level spell slot.
Wow.
I mean, it will use a second level spell slot if I cast it, but it doesn't take away from the 2 second level spells I can now learn.
That's awesome.
So for my first one, this is definitely a character choice that I think works. I'm choosing Augury, mostly because who was it who just referred to me as an augur? Weepa called me the augur of the following. And so I saw this spell, and I was like, I have to take this. So it will take 10 minutes, but I can gain a vague glimpse of the future. I can ask the result of a particular course of action. And then the GM's best guess of how it might go based on wheel,
I'm
woe.
Smiling. I'm smiling right now.
Wheel and woe or nothing. You roll a secret DC 6 flat check on a failure. The result is always you can't tell. So you would roll a flat check and then let say like this may be the way to go or that may not. Or maybe good or bad things could happen here. And it just works, I think, from a flavor standpoint because I'm an oracle. I should be able to get glimpses into the future.
Great.
But my second spell, I'm a little unsure. So here's what I'm considering. I was just complaining about not having, like, restoration. It was like when we were thinking about people being petrified. So that's an option. I can take restoration now. But I can also do this really fun reaction spell called Blood Vendetta, which basically means if I'm dealt piercing, slashing, or persistent bleed damage, I'm like, how dare you spill my blood? They have to make, as a reaction, they have to make a will throw. They're cursed, and they take 2d6 persistent bleed damage.
Hold on. Slow down. Is Blood Vendetta like some kind of rare spell?
It's not.
Vendetta.
Everything I'm looking at is marked as common. It's from the Advanced Player's Guide.
It's from the Advanced Player's Guide?
Yeah. APG.
Hold on, I'm looking at it.
This is just one of the things I'm considering. It's as a reaction. I basically curse them back for spilling my blood.
That's a spell?
Yeah.
That's an enormous amount of persistent bleed damage.
Yeah, it does get a save. And on a success, it takes half the bleed.
Yeah, on critical success, nothing happens. On success, they take half of it. On failure, they take a full. Critical failure, they take double. So that's a thought that I think is kind of cool from like a, also from like a character standpoint. But then here's the third thing I'm considering.
All right.
You have to cast it before they attack you though, right?
No, it's a reaction.
It's specific to piercing, slashing, or bleed damage. That's the only times I can react with it.
That's why it's a blood vendetta. Yeah. I get it. I get it.
The other thought is I can take spiritual weapon. Now, I know I'm not a cleric, and I associate spiritual weapon with cleric, but I can take it because I'm a divine spellcaster. And I think this could be neat. I love spiritual weapon when I've played clerics. And from a flavor standpoint, I was thinking of it relating back somehow to my mother, like we, you know, being kind of what we see as the weapon, which I think could be kind of cool. But I didn't know if that felt like a weird thing for an oracle to take, if it feels too cleric-y. So that's kind of where my brain's at with those three things.
The only spell that scares me as a GM, and I mean, it's completely within the rules, but is the Blood Vendetta.
Yeah, take that
Take that one, scares Jared.
Take whatever scares Jared.
Maybe you should. The spiritual weapon makes sense to me. I mean, it is your oracle powers come from a divine source. This is a divine spell that evokes a force weapon. I think Yelka, more offense is maybe a good idea for her. I mean, what do you guys think?
Strongly disagree. No. The one thing I will say, I think that I'm not so sold on Blood Vendetta as a character choice. You can tell me if you think she's really that dark. She doesn't seem like a
I have access to a lot of necromancy spells that I mostly have gone, oh, I just don't think that's... But it's like a chaotic kind of being who, in reaction to being hurt, lashes out.
She is kind of scary.
Sense,
yeah,
but
it's like a Carrie thing, or almost. It's just that kind of.
But also, I do love the idea of having spiritual weapon.
Yeah, and I love that. I will say from a tactical standpoint, with Olog around, we just don't need more damage. You know what I mean?
That's true.
I love the your mom thing, though. That is so cool. So something to keep in mind. And then the restoration thing is like, no one can do that but you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I know it's boring, but when you need it,
when
and
you
don't
need
have it, it is so brutal. And let's say Olog needs it and we don't have it. It hurts him. It brings everything down in terms of our damage output. Anyway, just something else to consider, but. All right, you convinced me. I like all of them. I like all of them.
That's not helpful because I also like all of them. It's not like these aren't spells I can take later. You know, it's not like this is my only chance to get this thing.
Yeah, but it is tough, though. I've said the same thing as a caster, and every time I'm like, I could take another third level spell or go back to a second level spell. I'm always like, I'll take the third. Now, that being said, with these being able to be heightened, 2E may be different. I haven't had that much experience with 2E. So it might be worth it to go back and take a lower level spell so that you can prepare it at higher levels. But I don't know.
Well, are you going to choose right now? I think you need to, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, y'all have been supremely unhelpful.
Sorry.
I mean, I think you have to choose thematically. Like, I think you just have to pick whatever you feel thematically fits your personality.
Yeah, better, on instinct, right? Because if we just leveled up on instinct and we're not really thinking about it, right? When we just have these spells for the next cavern, it's not what we really prepared or anything. It's whatever instinctually,
whatever bubbles up inside of us
for our character,
especially for you. You know.
Spontaneous caster. Yeah. So I think you use a character motivation to choose whatever feels the most natural that would develop within her soul as a spellcaster.
I agree.
I will choose.
People are just screaming in their car right now. They're screaming spell names in their car right now.
I'm sorry, everyone. For all the people who I'm not making the choice you want me to make, I'm so sorry. I can only choose one. Because I recently was like, well, if he's petrified, can I restore him? I don't have restoration, and I wished for it, and I am focused right now on taking care of Olog. I'll choose restoration.
Nice.
I love the brother-sister connection.
Yeah.
Gotta say, I love it.
The team player's choice. You're a good little soldier, Yelka.
I'll just continue to feel like I can't do anything in combat.
I mean, I will point out that restoration would not have helped someone who was petrified.
Oh, it wouldn't have?
No.
What?
It's like conditions and, well, it's certain conditions and toxins. Clumsy, enfeebled, or stupefied is it. Which is one reason why I didn't just auto take it.
Well, it's been chosen now, and you are unable to choose something else.
Can't change it.
It is law. It is carved in stone forever.
Once I get to sixth level, it gets better.
You know what? I feel like you are unhappy with your choice.
I don't know.
All right. So
here at the Glass Cannon Network.
We're going to take, actually, you know what? Usually there's just a week between episodes. We're going to take 3 weeks for Paula to decide.
You know what? It's so funny. In 3 weeks, I think you'll still be just as pained.
At the end of 21 days, we will need your decision. But
that's only fair.
In the meantime, that is the end of our episode and the end of our show for today. Tune in next time to see what Paula has chosen.
I love how your analysis paralysis has become a cliffhanger. This is fantastic.
I'm sorry I'm like this. I'm really bad at decisions.
This is great content. Don't apologize.
This is fantastic.
Oh, man.
Put out a Twitter poll. Put out a Twitter poll.
Legendary stories, awe-inspiring sound, and endless adventure. Welcome to the realms of peril and glory. Explore the mechanically magical vistas of Vale, the paranormal mysteries of liminal London, and the cyberpunk chaos of Cyborg. Fall in love with our core cast, or be awed by our incredible guests from familiar shows like Oxventure, Three Black Halflings, and No Rolls Barred. Ignite your imagination and discover the realms of peril and glory today. Go to realmspod.com or search Realms of Peril and Glory wherever you listen to podcasts.
Reality TV is messy.
Pop culture is louder than ever.
And the internet?
Completely unhinged.
Welcome to Roxanne.
And Chantel.
The podcast where cousins Roxanne and Chantel break down reality TV, celebrity drama, and the stories everyone's texting about.
We recap the shows,
spill the headlines,
and sit down with the stars themselves.
No filter.
No boring takes.
Just the tea.
New episodes every week.
If it's trending,
we're talking about it.
This is Roxanne
and Chantel.
Let's get into it.